Can you give me one quick second, please?
You got it.
Thank you.
And by the way, I have the privilege of chairing the meeting because Mr. Laws couldn't make it today. So you got to bear with me.
We're in great hands.
All right. I'm going to call out the people who are here and those online, starting with Supervisor David Gomez from Greenlee County.
Present.
Mayor Richard Ortega from City of Safford.
Present. Vice Mayor.
Vice Mayor, thank you. Stephen Almond, who is our private sector rep from Greenlee County.
He's here.
David Budd, who is our private sector rep from Santa Cruz County. Mr. Budd, are you there? Thank you. Barbara?
My microphone was muted, but on that topic, you guys are barely here. Some of us can barely hear you guys. I don't know if any microphone bump up is possible, but we're trained to hear some of you just a little bit.
Thank you for letting us know.
How's that?
That's better, Randy. I can hear you better. Yeah.
Thank you.
Y'all.
I have Barbara Richardson, who is our private sector rep from Cochise County.
Present.
Thank you. Mayor Ashley Smith, Town of Thatcher.
Vice Mayor.
Present.
Ed Lopez, private sector rep from Graham County. Is that correct?
Graham County. Present.
Thank you. Ann Thurman, Mayor of Duncan.
Present.
Thank you. Who did I miss?
Rachel Gray.
Rachel Gray from City of Sierra Vista.
Present. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Did I miss anybody else besides staff?
And English, Cochise County.
Oh, Ann, I'm so sorry I missed you. Welcome. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, for staff, I have Randy Heiss, our executive director. Dina Curtis, our accounting manager. Chris Vertrees, our transportation program administrator. Laura Villa, the AAA program director. Maria Porter, our economic development program manager. Huge thanks to John Meredith, who is our GIS analyst, and me, Heather. Did I miss anybody?
Hello, Heather. It's Kevin Ann with RTAC.
Thank you for speaking up, Kevin. Welcome.
You bet. Thank you.
Keith Dennis just joined.
And Keith is our community development program manager.
Someone else joined?
I think that was Keith.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Keith, welcome. We already announced you were present.
He might be muted.
Probably.
Are we good? Okay. Thank you, Heather.
My pleasure.
Okay, we'll move into our next item of business, member entities discussion. Is there anyone that wants to share anything with?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and share. We just completed 14th Avenue. That's from Relation to A Street. That goes down by the past the high school. That's
louder.
Good.
Okay. Can you speak louder?
Yeah.
They may have a hard time hearing.
Okay. I'll repeat it. 14th Avenue. That's from Relation to A Street. Was just completed. They'll be putting up the street lights. It's a great improvement. That's access to the high school. And then 20th Street, that's in the works, and that's a very important one, mainly because the hospital's there, and many of our medical offices are there too. So that's gonna be good.
Mr. Chairman, Richard, I think you said that that was earmarked, didn't you, from the legislature last year, part of the funding at least, right?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I think, if not mistaken, the street lights. That's one thing that's in the works now.
That's awesome.
That's huge.
Anybody else have anything to share? Thank you, Richard.
This is Ann English from Cochise County, and I always want to share a thank you with CETO. It looks as though our two-port solution is getting much closer to a reality. It's in both the House and the Senate budget. So thank you for supporting us through all these years, and we hope that we will have better news the next time we meet. But we're closer to the finish line than we have been. So thank you for supporting us.
My pleasure. Our pleasure.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Ann. Anybody else? Okay, hearing none, we'll move into our next item of business. Anyone out there call to the public?
No one from the public is present.
Okay. Thank you, Heather. Hearing none, we'll move to our next item of business. We move into our action items. Fall into the consent agenda. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So move. So move.
I need a second.
Second.
I'll second that. Ann English, Cochise County.
Okay, motion has been made and second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I call for vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed, same sign? Ayes have it. So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, just want to point out in the right after the agenda in your packet is a kind of a record of what the administrative council, the attendance, those who were present, how they voted, and so on is in your each item. But this is who was present so that you guys, as you're looking at each item, if you're wondering who was involved in those decisions to pass this along with approval or disapproval, that's what you got. This is what that's for.
Okay. Thank you, Randy. And you got that, Heather, motion?
Yes, I did,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll move into our next item of business, discussion and possible action to recommend an amendment to the Siegel bylaws to provide for the annual rotation of administrative council officers between counties. The floor is yours, Randy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is one of the things that this is why I value the administrative council. They were concerned with too many people staying in the same positions as officers on the administrative council. And they asked if there was any way they could rotate the way the executive board does. And being as that's already a model we had to work with because it was written in the bylaws, I basically just reworked that. So there here are a few differences. The first thing I did was remove the executive board's requirement for 1 year of service on the board. So this is in the case of the administrative council. They don't have to serve 1 year before they're eligible to be the chair. I'm not sure that why that's in the bylaws for the executive board, but it's there. For some reason, somebody wanted to do that. But I didn't think it was necessary on the administrative council, and neither did they, so I removed that. It also adds a treasurer position. That means they have four officers instead of three after this is once this is approved. And then the officers, we would eliminate the prohibition for, there was a prohibition for the administrative council to serve more than 3 years. They couldn't serve any more than 3 years in one position. That wasn't necessary. To maintain that since they are going to be rotating, so they'll never serve 3 years in one position. So that's a change. And then this will happen, if it's approved today, would begin next May when they elect their officers. They'll elect four officers instead of three, and those terms would be effective July 1 of 2022. I wanted to say the only challenge that I see about all of this is sometimes We have difficulty getting people from Santa Cruz County on the Administrative Council to participate. So I guess we could elect them as an officer, but we can't compel them necessarily to serve or show up to meetings. So that might be the only challenge I can see with this whole thing. I say we go ahead, since the Administrative Council didn't choose to address it, we go ahead and give it a shot and see how it works, and maybe we can do some work, legwork on the ground to get people more engaged. Patagonia is pretty engaged, but it's real tough finding somebody in Nogales or Santa Cruz County to participate in the meetings. I've suggested they delegate to somebody else if they're not able to do it, but that hasn't been effective. So what I have in your packet on page 8 is a strike-through version of the bylaws from the executive board, and you can see where I struck out executive board and inserted administrative council, etc. Page 11 is begins a clean version of it for you, and page 13 are the existing bylaws relating to the administrative council. And this was provided just so you could see what we were doing and what the changes were made, trying to be transparent and all of that. So I'll answer any questions that you have. That's all I have.
Okay, folks, the floor is open for questions if you have any questions of Randy.
Have you looked at how existing staff feels about this proposal?
You mean administrative councils? Yeah, they all the business that goes to the board passes through them first, so we didn't hear any concerns from them. Thanks for asking, though.
I'll move that we approve the amendment to the Siegel bylaws establishing an annual rotation of the administration council between counties.
Motion has been made. I need a second.
I'll second.
Motion has been made and second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I call for vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Same sign. Ayes have it. So ordered. Okay, thank you. We'll move to our next item of business. We're going to get Supervisor David situated here, and we'll get going.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
You're good? Okay. Okay, our next item of business is discussion and possible action to recommend approval of the resolution number 2021-03. Establishing Siegel's rural regional priority list of transportation projects for the consideration for funding by the Arizona Legislature.
Amen.
Chris?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yours.
Right there is good,
is
Chris.
This chair gonna
That's
work?
Got a microphone on it.
Just about lost it.
This memorandum is on page 15 in your packet. On June 24th, the state passed a $13 billion budget for fiscal year 22. Included in that budget was over $300 million in one-time funding transportation infrastructure projects, funding for transportation infrastructure projects, and that included Southwest 20th Avenue. This process is expected to continue into next year. The issue being is that those projects bypass any type of local effort to review, recommend, and program projects. So in response, our TAC is going to be recommending a compromise approach to legislative leadership. They're going to be recommended that $15 million be carved out for greater COGS and NGOs to program and prioritize at the local level. and under this, and then that $50 million was broken down between the greater COGS and based upon population, and that left us with about $4.5 million to program. We did a call for projects on June 4th. We had five applications. On July 15th, the TAC reviewed them, and they selected four projects to move forward. On page 16 of the package, you got those projects right there. So what we're asking for is twofold. One is that you approve the TAC approved list of projects, and that was unanimous. Went to the Administrative Council, they reviewed the list, it was unanimous. And so we're asking you to approve that list of projects, but in addition, we're going to be asking you to approve a resolution that demonstrates the Siegel Region's support for this effort, for our tax efforts. So we'll be asking for two things: a motion to approve the priority transportation projects, and the approval of the resolution demonstrating the RTAC support from the region for the RTAC projects. And I'll be glad to answer any questions you have on the resolution or the list of projects.
Chairman, I've got a question, if it's okay.
Go ahead.
So these are not on the TIP. These are pending additional funding from the state, if I understand, and what the RTAC, which I serve on, I think what they're trying to do is to try to gently steer, and good luck, gently steer the legislators from earmarks to recognizing the tax choices or the COGS and the MPO's choices and funding them instead of just saying I'll give this and this constituent a project. Is that right?
That's correct, Mr. David. And these are not on any TIP. We chose, the TAC chose intentionally not to review the TIP, our TIP projects. Both of those are over $3 million and would have made a big chunk of this money. They wanted to make it available for other jurisdictions, and there's nothing stopping those TIP projects and those agencies with those TIP projects to pursue earmark funding on their own. So we left that up to those two local projects we got on the TIP. We've got two bridges on Davis Road, and we've got a Chino Road in Douglas that is sitting on our TIP, but both of those well over $3 million. So we intentionally stayed clear of those, and these are our projects that will be added to the TIP if they're chosen for funding.
And the local contribution varies, looking at these four projects, from, looks like anywhere from a 20% down to 5%, or in some cases, like Santa Cruz County, their local match would be, it looks like about 30%. So my question is who determined the local matches on this?
There was no definite rules. We were looking at least meet the federal match current requirements for the state of Arizona, which is about 5.4%.
Okay. Very good. And are all of these, is Santa Cruz County in the LD, was it LD 14, which is the appropriations chair is Chairman Gowan. Is Santa Cruz in LD 14?
No, sir.
Okay.
No.
Is Nogales in LD 14?
No, sir.
Okay. So they'll, okay. We were fortunate because we got Sierra Vista, and of course Sierra Vista is its own MPO, but Wilcox and Safford got projects from earmarks. I'm not proud of it, but I was pissed off at the fact that they were going with earmarks, and then I decided to, if I can't lick them, to join them, and got $1 million for Safford.
There you go, plan.
Well, I know, but it's not kosher, and it circumventing ADOT, and I understand. It's really interesting for especially for Ed. ADOT has got such a cumbersome, such an inefficient, such a lengthy bureaucratic process that sucks anywhere from 20 to 50% of the project cost into design, and you know, getting ready to build the project that I can see the frustration from the legislators in saying, you know, we're not going to follow your five-year plan. Your five-year plan doesn't do anything for us, so we're going to go outside the box and do this ourselves. So
they're like attorneys.
But Greenlee, I'll try to do something for Greenlee this year, because Greenlee and Graham have got screwed on the five-year plan.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough crying.
Okay. Anybody else?
Mr. Chairman, this is Kevin Adam. Can I add to that last conversation?
Go ahead, Adam.
Thank you. I just wanted to sort of reinforce a point that Chris had made, and that is there is no local match requirement. I guess I should say there's no legal match requirement pursuing earmark. But when we determine what level of funding each Colgan MPO could plan for, we also, I made it clear that while there is no match requirement, there's a very good chance that the legislature, when they're considering this bill and considering the state budget, that they're going to look at what the locals are pitching in for each specific project, and that they're probably going to be attractive to legislators, and the likelihood of them being included in the budget is going to be far greater if a local match component is included. And so I'm appreciative that CIGO, in developing their lists, does have projects with local match, because ultimately, in the long run, I think it's going to make them that much more likely to receive the funding.
Thank you, Kevin.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin, good to hear from you. I may have not been quite so candid in my comments if I knew you were on the line, but I think you. I don't think that I'm have changed my spots. I think that's just me.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a question, but I wanted to throw out there, if I may.
Go ahead, Randy.
The advisory committee, the RTAC advisory committee, put out a request last week for a brief statement of support from each of the elected officials that are represented in these projects. Now, one of the things that we did is we put this in the form of a resolution. So that really expresses, I think it has a little more weight than a statement of support from, you know, a single elected official. But that doesn't preclude Supervisor David, for example, of drafting something and sending it along. So just know that was a request. I wanted to put that out there and let you guys do whatever you want with it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Randy. Can the new kid on the block ask us?
Absolutely.
Really
question or a concern?
Well,
shoot it.
Just, I'm looking at numbers, and I heard Chris say, I'm Steve Ahman, new from Greenlee County. That there was $4.5 million. It looked like that could come to CIGO.
The $50 million that's being requested, when that's broken down by population, we have about $4.5 million for the CIGO.
So, I guess my stupid question is then, we're looking at asking for to fund projects that are $17 million. So there seems to be, in my brain, a shortfall between $4.5 million and $17 million. Is, what am I not aware of, or what am I not realizing that to make that up?
Yeah, the biggest chunk of the project is the Santa Cruz Bridge project,
right.
And that's almost $14 million right there,
right.
That asked. They're going to contribute $4.5 million to that project. This involves a railroad, reconstructing the railroad access, which they believe they're going to be giving funding, or can access funding to the railroad. They're also in a non-attainment area in terms of congestion mitigation. So they have a different funding source than anybody else in the region does. So they're going to be able to put this package together as a whole. That's why we did not have a problem asking for just $1.5 million earmarks. knowing that they have access to other funds that the rest of our agencies don't. And then when you see the difference between the total cost and the recommended funding, the TAC only chose to recommend the construction cost, not the design cost or anything else. That's going to fall back on the local agencies. So that's another part of it. You look at Nogales, the total project is 1.8. We're only recommending funding for 1.5 something. So that's the design portion, okay, and the right of way portion. The agency requesting is going to have to cover those costs.
Thank you so much.
And Chris, they also have a, in addition to funding from the legislature, which we're asking for, they also have access to federal funds because of the border infrastructure program. I'm not sure what the formal name is, but I've heard of other projects that tap into that because of their proximity to the border, which we never are a party to.
Yeah, and they're on a critical freight access roadway also, so they've got so many different avenues to try to fund this compared to the other projects. That's why you see that big disparity between 13 million and the 1.5 we're requesting.
But out of fairness and since we're represent all these areas, we need to advocate for them just as strongly as for ourselves.
Absolutely. And they were actually the highest ranked project, but the TAC chose to spread the wealth and fund as many projects as they could.
After him.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any other, anyone else have a question or a concern?
I'll move we approve Siegel's, it's the Siegel Region's Priority Transportation Projects as presented, and also approve resolution number 2021-03.
And I'll second that motion and make the comment, which is probably out of line, but encourage and thank RTAC for their efforts to secure this funding and wish them well.
Okay, well, motion has been made and seconded and commented, and is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I call for vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone decline, same sign? Hearing none, ayes have it, so ordered. Okay, our next item, now do I wait till he's due his next?
Yeah,
time?
Let him go through this.
Okay. Our next item of business, discussion and possible action to recommend approval of Siegel 2022-20-2026 TIP Amendment Number 1, and to authorize staff to initiate the RFP process for a consultant for the road pavement assessment. Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That memorandum starts on page 20 of your packet. Twofold request. One is to approve SEA 22-01, and that is a Siegel Regional Road Assessment Project. We will be assessing all the non-state roads in our region. And it will utilize, in the past, you've probably seen in these big old vans, they've got ground penetrating radar, and they've got sensors and everything. And the cost is extremely expensive. You're usually around $300 per mile. There's new technology out there that actually turns your cell phone into a data collection device. And it's an outstanding product. And that has driven the cost, because we will be driving the roads. The only cost involving the consultant will be taking our data and input it into their system and spitting it back out to us in the form of a GPS database that will index the conditions of the road from very poor to very good. So that being said, that's the goal of the project. We think we can get it for around $30 per mile at 3,400, which compared to the old way at 300 a mile, this is a very good opportunity to do something region-wide that could have a very positive impact. On top of just have, we'll have, there'll be a G, we'll, this includes a license, but all of our, just like our traffic count database. Everybody will be able to log into CEGO, pull up their jurisdiction, pull up their network, and review their pavement assessments. And the good thing is we don't have to do a full length of road. This project lets us cut it from 10 to 100 meters length per road. So basically, stop sign to stop sign is what we'll be doing with the local roads, and we'll be able to analyze each of those segments individually. On top of that, these databases also offer tools such as able to develop a pavement management plan for you. You input some data, it'll spit you that out, and also to analyze repair costs and reconstruction cost estimates. So those are our other tools that will really help our jurisdiction, especially budget time. They can put a section in and spit out some data based upon condition. In addition to that, we're going to get, there's some additional features. One is pavement markings. We're going to be able to analyze and assess those, and also collect a GPS sign inventory and assign condition ratings to those signs. So there's a lot of things that will come out of this project. We currently have about $300,000 in use it or lose it STBG money. This project qualifies for STBG. The TAC looked at it. I initially recommended 3,400 miles. The TAC was unanimous. They wanted to increase it to 4,000 miles. So if any improvements are made on the road, we have that cushion to go back and update that data. You see the budget, it's on page 21 in your packet. Also, our procurement procedures require anything over $10,000 to be taken to go through an RFP process. So on top of approving the TIP amendment, we're also asking you to approve us to develop a request for proposals, advertise the project, and then the TAC will eventually select the consultant. I'll be glad to answer any questions anybody has.
Anybody have any questions or concerns? Go ahead, Randy.
No questions, no concerns. I just wanted to give a shout out to Chris for keeping his eye open for opportunities to share some of this money region-wide, that especially it's a use it or lose situation. Having his eye on that and making sure that our smaller jurisdictions that don't have a prayer of being able to manage a federal aid project, they at least get some benefit of having their conditions of their roads and signs assessed and having a sense of what they need to do. Otherwise, they're pretty much participating in a process they never get anything out of. So I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
No problem.
A couple questions, Mr. Chairman. I'm really not a contrarian, but I do have some.
I know that.
First is on the consultant. I know that Graham County has done this on their own, and we find that the consultant, they own the database, they own the data, and then they, in the past, have raised the, the access fee for the proprietary information. I was wondering if we're, is there going to be a video feed along with the pavement information, and
yes.
Then who will own it, who can, and then who can access it?
Well, Siegel will own the license, so.
Okay.
We'll have it will be on our statistics section of our transportation page. That's where you also find our TDMS system, our count system there. So it'll be there. This project should probably cover 3 years, and we're calling it more of a pilot.
Okay.
And then we will determine at that point how to fund it going forward, because we're going to want it once we do this. We're going to want to find a way to keep it going, because as roads conditions change, we want
sure.
to stay current with
but,
it.
But
so.
This is going to be, it'll end up, even if it's a one, it looks like a one-year contract, it's going to be in a long-term relationship if we're going to get all the value out of
yeah.
this.
It'll be a 2 to 3 year contract, and then it will we'll have to determine, starting with the TAC, whether we move forward. But the good thing is everything that this database has, we can move it into our own GPS system and keep it live
okay.
that way.
Okay.
So even if we choose not to stay with one of these vendors, we will have that in our own GPS system for everybody
okay.
to to see, so.
Thank you, that's all I had.
Okay, anybody else?
That's a great idea. I'm getting ready to support it with a motion.
Do it.
Okay, I move that we go ahead and approve the, go ahead, someone online.
I just have one question, and this is Rachel from Sierra Vista, and I apologize if I've missed it. What is the completion estimation date on this?
It's going to be a 2-year data collection process, and then we will be looking for a third year of, we're looking for a 3-year licensing agreement in our RFP, but it'll be a 2-year collection process.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion that we approve the amendment to our TIP for the SEA 22-01 Segal Regional Road Pavement Assessment Project.
I'll second it.
Motion has been made and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I call for vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Anyone opposed, same sign? Anyone opposed, same sign? Hearing none, motion carries. So ordered. Okay. We'll move into our next item of business. And thank you, Chris. Oh, we got one
got
more.
Got one more.
Okay, Chris, the next one's yours also. Discussion and possible action to recommend approval of resolution number 2021-04 relating to Segal's Title VI plan.
Every year we're required to develop a Title VI plan. It basically, the plan outlines how we're going to make sure that our planning process reaches underserved populations. And those really are generally the elderly, the poor, and minority communities. So we develop this plan each year. It is required by ADOT and the FTA to have executive board approval of the plan. And the problem is, we submit the plan in August. It has to be finalized by October 1st of each year, the new federal fiscal year. And our next meeting minutes won't be reviewed by the executive board until our November meeting. So we, instead of trying to wait for those meetings, we do the resolution now so it can be incorporated into our plan before the October 1st final date for the Title VI plan. So we're asking you to approve resolution 2104. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions or comments? Hearing none, entertain for motion.
So move.
Second.
Motion has been made and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I call for vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Anyone opposed, same sign? Ayes have it, so ordered. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you
for everything you do.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Well done.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman. I just had a request from Mr. Keith Dennis, who's at the Arizona Housing Forum, if he could cover his items before we move on with the agenda. His items are action item number 8 and information item D. If it's okay with the rest of the board, he's asked if he could get moved up on the agenda.
Okay, we're good. Keith, are you on? Are you listening, Keith?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the floor is yours. We're going to go into item number 8, discussion and possible action to recommend approval of the Segal Fiscal Year 2022-2024 DBG Regional Account Method of Distribution. It's all yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I really appreciate your graciousness in letting me move up. There's a briefing on the America Rescue Plan happening right now. I'm going to try to get to in a moment. But at the beginning of the year, I kind of put everybody on notice, the Administrative Council and the Executive Board, going all the way back to February, that in August we had to page 34 of your packet. The actual method of distribution is on page 35. And it's basically the same as what we've had in the past. In the middle of the last period, we had a change made to the Cochise County rotation to go to a six-year rotation. And that seems to be working out really well for Cochise County. It's like, you know, fewer grants, but they're for more money, or a slower rotation of once every 6 years. So other than that, a change that was made sort of midstream, as it were, this is the same. And I trust you've all had a chance to look at it if you're so interested. And I'd love to, the Administrative Council recommended approval, and we're bringing this forward to ask for your approval. And I'll take any questions you have.
Okay, anybody have any questions, concerns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the revised method of distribution for fiscal year 2022 to 2024.
I'll second it.
Motion has been made and second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I call for vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed, same sign. Hearing none. Ayes have it, so ordered. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you. And then rolling forward into the community development program's information update, we've experienced some delays with our applications earlier this year, and so it's typically at this time of year we'd be saying, you know, this is what the different communities have selected for their community development block grant projects. We're hoping to have those wrapped up within the next month. We did get, Clifton did submit their application. The others we're waiting for and processing right now. So in the fall, we're going to be bringing those forward for your blessing for the technical assistance contract. So come forward after those lists to go in our different communities. I did want to say that the CEO Cares program is doing what it was meant to do, which is saving people's mortgages. We're very proud of our efforts in this regard, and we made payments to 8 households at this time. Although that's gone up, we have some of these clients that we're making payments month after month to a limited degree, right? So we've got some households from across the region, Cochise, Graham, and Greenlee counties. Benefited 8 households, about 28 people in those households total, and about $30,000 worth of payments for mortgage utility assistance made directly to those providers. Although I believe that number's gone up slightly since this started. I will say that we've we have an amendment request in for our CEO Care program with the Department of Housing. Currently, got to meet the new director of the Department of Housing last night. That was really nice, Mr. Thompson. But the San Carlos Apache region, we originally got a letter of interest. We kind of chased that down with them to make the San Carlos lands available for participation in this program. And later on, we kind of realized, well, if we're going to help some of the reservation, why not all of it? So we've submitted a request to include the entire San Carlos Apache tribe in our service area. We'll let you know how that works out. With that contract goes until the spring of next year. The funds are supposed to be spent by September. You may have heard, if you're listening to the radio around the region, we've got some ads on the radio. That's increased a little bit of our people coming in asking to be part of the program, so we're happy about that. And I will say, I'm gonna go to this briefing here in a moment on the American Rescue Plan, and before I conclude, I'll just say that CEGO's really staffed up.